So we are starting again about 14 lines up from the bottom of Lamed Zayin of Abayz. The Gemara says, "My havi Allah." So we're just finishing up the Gemara. The Gemara wanted to know what bracha do you make on chavitza? Chavitza, remember, is where you have bread, and then after you cooked it, then you baked it. So the question was, what bracha do you make on it? My havi Allah. So the Gemara asked, what is the halach you make on this chavitza? Amrav Sheshes. Chai chavitza, afagav de lespe, pirurim, kezayis, even though they don't have pieces of a bread that are at least a kezayis in size. Moray chalav hamotzi lech minari to make hamotzi. Amarava, and Rava qualifies that and says, v'hu de'ikale, teresa de nahama, that's only if it still has the appearance of bread in it. So if it has pieces of bread that are greater than a kezayis, even if it does not have the appearance of bread anymore, you would still make a hamotzi on it. But if you have this dish, which once the pieces are crumbled up, you no longer have bread that's the size of a kezayis, and it doesn't have the appearance of bread, and it has the appearance of bread, then you still make a hamotzi on it. If it's not, then you don't. Okay, now the Gemara now is going to go through for the next while. It's going to go through all different types of foods, all different types of doughs that were cooked in different manners, and it's going to ask if we're going to make a hamotzi on it or not. So the Gemara starts by saying, trokanin chayav mechala, this trokanin, which the Gemara will explain what that is chayv in challah. You have to separate challah from it to be given to the kohen, which indicates that it is like a bread-like substance. Asa Rabin Amar Rav Yochanan, trukin p'turim in challah. He argues, and when he came from Eretz Yisrael to Bavel, he said that trukonin is pater from challah. He did not consider it to be bread. So my trukonin, the Gemara asks, what is this trukonin? Amar Abaye, kuva de'ara. It's a kuva that was made in the ground. They would have some sort of... The way they would cook it back then is that they would have a hole in the ground and they would pour the dough in there and the other ingredients in it, and it would cook that when it was in the ground. So that's what this, it's kuvat da'ara, that's what it is. Amar Abai, and Abai says about this trakonin, Teresa paturim min challah, that Teresa is also pater from challah. So Gemara asks, my Teresa, what is this Teresa that you're talking about? Ika da'amri gavil meratech, some say that it's like you would have flour and water, and it was very loose though. Okay, and so they say that is pater from challah. It's not considered to be bread. V'ika d'amri nahama dehindik. It's like some sort of Indian bread, which the way they made it is they would put this dough on a spit, and then they would put honey on it or other ingredients, and they would turn it. That's the way that they made it. I don't want to say cooked it. That's the way that they made it. I don't know, whatever it was. So v'ika d'amri lechem asu l'kutach, and some say that it is bread that was made for kutach, and the way that they describe kutach is they say that it was some sort of, it was made with sour milk and moldy bread, which I think someone said is sourdough. Is that sourdough? I love eating sourdough challah, but I don't know how it's, like most foods, I don't know how they're made. They just kind of, they appear for me just like mun. You know, it's just there. I sit down at the table and there's food, so I don't know how it's made. But anyway, you take this sour milk and moldy bread crust, and you would make, so that's what they say what that is. Tani Rav Chiya, lechem ha'asi l'kutach patur min challah, that if you have this bread that was made for kutach, again with this sour milk and moldy bread, and moldy, moldy crust, then it is pater from challah. So v'hatanya, but we learned in another brayse of chayav challah that you have to take, that is subject to challah. Again, that challah is where you take a portion of the dough and you give that to the kohen. Gemara says hasim k'tani time, and the reason why you have to give it to the kohen is because ma'aseh mochichan Allah, because the way that it's made proves what the intent was when you're doing it. So what the Gemara is going to be saying is that the requirement to make a hamotzi is going to depend on the ingredients. It's going to be made, it's going to depend on how it was made, and it's also going to depend on what the intent was when you were making it. So in this, we're going to see now, for example, the way that it was made shows us whether or not it was bread. Asan, if you, and we're turning now to Lam Chasam and Aleph, Asan Ka'av, and if you made them very like thick bread rolls, then that's Hamotzi, Chayav, and then it's subject to Chala, and it's considered like bread. But if you made them like into some sort of flat bread or of some sort, so you really weren't focusing on what the shape was of the challah, then paturim, then they are pater from challah because we don't consider those to be bread. So again, it depends on how they were made. That's why earlier when we talked about they would have the holes that you would dig in the ground and they would bake it that way. That's not the normal way of baking, the way we bake bread now. So that's why you're not be making hamotzi on that either. Okay, so we're going to go more about this. We're going to talk more now about this bread that you made in the ground. Amalei Abayi L'Rabbi Yosef. Hai kuva de'ara, this bread that you made when it was, I'm calling it bread, but that made, it's like dough that you baked in the ground. My mevarach, what bracha do you make on it? Amarle, misfaras nahamahu, do you think that's considered bread? Guvla ba'amahu, it's just like some sort of baked dough, so you're not going to make a hamotzi on it. Mevarach love, bray miname zonos, you make a bracha, bray miname zonos. Marzutra, and now the Gemara is again, we're going to be talking about this also in the next few lot. We're going to get into the whole subject of Pasabah Bekistin, which is going to be talking about like pizza and other types of food that you're eating them, which sometimes they're mizonos, sometimes they're going to be a hamotzi. It's really going to depend on what why you're eating it, how much of it you're eating, and when you're eating it. That's also going to come into play. So, but he holds that this kuva de ara is just—it's just like a dough that you're baking. Mevarachna Abraham name is Zanos, you make him Zanos on it. Marzutra kavas hidusilar. Marzutra made a because kovei asuda, he made a meal around this kuva dough. Mevarachalav hamotzi lachmin aretz with shalosh brachos, and he made a hamotzi and he benched when he was done. Amar marbar avashi. That this kuva dough, I'm calling it dough again, if someone, as long as it's not chametz, then a person is able to use that to fulfill his obligation for matzah on Pesach. My timing, what's the reason that you could use it? Lechem oni karina bay, because it's considered to be lechem, and it's considered to be oni, which it has to be a poor man's bread. And this is considered to be a poor man's bread, so if it's made in the ground, and it didn't have chametz in it, then you're able to yotz your chiv of matzah on Pesach. Vamar Marbaravashi says another halacha. Hi duvsha de tarm. If you have date honey, the varchan alav shahakol niyavidvar, you make a shahakol on it. And what's the chiddush here? The chiddush here is that even though the dates are ha'eitz and they're considered to be dates are one of the chashav fruits from Eretz Yisrael. Even so, the liquid that comes from the date, you only make a shahakol on it. My time a zeh ba'amu, because it's just considered to be sweat. It's just like the juices that are coming out from the dates, so that you're only going to make a shahakol on it. Okay. Come on. So, who holds that? What is this brisa that we're saying now that she teaches us that that date honey you only make a shahakal on it? Who's that going like? Come on, ki hai tana, like we learned in the Mishnah that we said the tanan devash tamarim v'yayin tapuchim v'chometz sifavanios. If you have either this date honey, or if you have juices, you have like some sort of wine from apples, they call it apple cider, or if you have vinegar that's coming from grapes that you're not going to be able to make into wine, you're only able to make them into vinegar. Usha'ar me peros, and other fruit juices, shel truma, that belong to truma, Rebbe Elazar mechayev keren v'chomesh, if someone eats of them, okay, if someone eats any of these juices, you're going to be chayav. The halacha by truma is that only a kohen is able to eat truma. A non-kohen, if a non-kohen eats truma, what does he have to do? He has to pay back to the kohen the karen, the whatever the cost was of the principal of the object that he ate, and a chomesh he has to add on 25, what essentially is 25% that you have to add on top of that you have to add on. So if someone is, so according to the first time of this Mishnah, if someone eats these this date honey, which again is what we're focusing on, plus other fruit juices, sort of lez mechayev keren v'chomesh, if you drink them, then you have to pay back to the kohen the principal, and you have to add a fifth. Rabbi Yeshua says you're potter. So when we said before that date honey, you make a shahakal on it, that's going like Rabbi Yeshua. Rabbi Yeshua says it's just a shahakal. It's not considered to be truma because the only thing that you're not allowed to eat is the truma, but the byproducts of it you are able to eat. So the juices that come from the honey, it's not a problem to eat it. Amalei Hahum Rabbanan LaRava. One of the Rabbanan said to Rava, he asked him a question. Trima Mahu. What is the halacha with trima? Trima is where you're taking a food and you're crushing it. You're still able, you're not destroying the food. You're still able to recognize what it is, but you're really you're crushing it very well. So, what is the halacha with this trima? What bracha do you make on food that you have? Again, you take let's say a donut, and you and assume there's no other problems with it, and you really crush it up really good. So it's not the shape of a donut anymore, but you could still, if you look at it, you could see that it's like a flat, you know, you could tell that it once was a majestic a pastry.
Well, like little potatoes, sometimes people take a little wrapped in and smash them down. That's like a steak.
I don't know what you do. I don't know what you're eating at home. I don't know how you're eating at home, but I don't know. Okay, you mean mashed potatoes? Okay, I don't know.
But sounds like this.
Well, I think the Gemara actually is going to go through a couple of different crushed foods that you have, but it's not going to use. It's using it in the context of for mizonos, for dough items. So They asked him this trima, what is the halacha with trima? So lo havi adaite de Rava my kamale. Rava didn't know at first what this trima meant. He didn't know what trima was. So Yasif Ravina came to Rava. So Ravina was sitting by Rava at the time, and while Ravina was trying to So Rava was trying to figure out, you know, like what this trima was. So Amar Leh, so Ravina said to the person who had asked the question, "Dishmushe ka'amrit, are you talking about trima of some sort of sesame, where you have a sesame that got ground, that someone ground up, or that crushed? Crushed is a better word. Or the kartume ka'amrit, are you talking about some sort of the trima of a saffron that you crushed that up? Or the perutze ka'amrit, are you talking about where you crushed up some sort of grape pits? What is it that you're referring to when you're asking what the trima was? What is the case that we're referring to? Arahachi v'hachi, so in the meantime, Rava, because he heard Ravina trying to specify what was the question that he was trying to understand. So arahachi v'hachi, aske Rava l'dayte. So Rava finally understood what he meant by trima. Amar Lein, Rava said to the student, Chashilta v'adai ka'amrit, you're talking about something that was crushed. V'adarkartan milsa hadam ravasi, and you reminded me of something that Ravasi said, hi tamri shel truma, that if you have these dates of truma, mutar lasos meham truma, you're allowed to make truma from them, or you're allowed to crush them, v'asur lasos meham secher, you're not allowed to make bria out of them. So again, we're talking about dates of truma. And the halacha of truma, besides the fact that a kohen is the one that has to eat truma, the halacha is also that you're not allowed to destroy truma. Okay? So he said that if you have these dates of truma, and if you do this trima to them, you crush them, then that's not considered to be destroying them. So you're allowed to do that. You're allowed to turn it from the date into the crushed date form. That's still considered that you're not destroying them, but you can't make beer out of them. When you change it from a solid into liquid, that is considered to be destroying the truma, even though there's a you know, some people swear by the byproduct, but even though people like the beer, but that's still, you destroyed the truma from its original form to what it is now, so he says you're not able to do that. So, v'hilchasa tamri v'avidnu trima, the halacha is that if you took these dates and you made them into this crushed, you crushed it, v'varchan alai bari priyeh, to make a ha'etz on it, my time, and what's the reason? V'milsayu kaimi can make kara, because they still remain just like they were before. Again, as long as you're able to, we're not talking about where you took it and you pounded it so much that you can't recognize it anymore, it's still maintaining some of its original form, some of its original appearance, and therefore when you look at it, you still have these dates, you still make a ha'etz on them, because it's considered to be enough of its original form that you're able to do it. Gemara goes to the next topic now. Shatitsa, if you have this shatitsa, which is, it was some sort of kernels that they roasted, and when they did that, it maintained a very sweet flavor, some sort of roasted kernels. So Rav Amar Shahakal Niyam Bidvar, Rav says that you make a shahakal on it, Ushmuel Amar Brahmin Amazonos, you make a mizonos on it. Amar Rav Chizda Velo Pligan, and they don't argue. Haba Ava and Haba Rak, it depends what this shatitsa was when you were done with it. If it was thick, then you make a mizonos on it. And if it was thin, if it's loose, then you make a shahakal on it. Why? Because of alachila avdila, that when people have this shatisa that they have, these kernels, if it's thick, then they have it, it's there for eating. So if it's there for eating, then you would make a barimine mizonos on it. But raka lirfuoka avdila, but when you have it, when it's a looser batter, there are looser kernels, then people do that more for refua, not for satiation. So therefore, you would only make a shahakal on it. Mazir Rav Yosef. So the Gemara asked a question now from this bright. So Mazir Rav Yosef. V'shavin shebachoshin es hashatus b'shavis, that they agree that you're able to stir this shatus, again, these sweetened kernels, you're able to stir it on Shabbos. V'shosin zisom hamitrin, you're able to drink this zisom from mitri zisom, which was some sort of laxative. I guess if someone's having some sort of stomach issues, that they were able to drink that on Shabbos. And if you're telling me, if we just said a couple of lines ago that this shatisa was used, that when it's loose, that it's done for healing purposes and not for eating, so why are you allowed to stir that on Shabbos? Refuah b'Shabbos, I'm sure you're allowed to do something that's for refuah on Shabbos. You're not able to do that on Shabbos. Why are you able to do that? So Amalei Abai said to him, Va'atlo Tizra, but don't you agree that you are able to use it on Shabbos, even though it's only for more medicinal purposes than it is for drinking, for eating? But Tznam, we learned, Kala Ochlin Ochel Adam L'Refuah b'Shabbos, that all foods, a person's able to eat them for medicinal purposes on Shabbos. V'chol ha'mashkin shosen, any drinks a person is able to drink, again, if it's for medicinal purposes, you're able to drink it on Shabbos. So therefore, the same thing with the shatitza, you should be able to, even though it has a medicinal reason why you're doing it, you should be able to do it on Shabbos. So how are you going to explain it to say that you're able to do it? Because we say that the person really wanted to eat it. Here too, in the case of this looser shatitza, a person's eating it, he wants to eat it on Shabbos. Now, for example, you're able to eat food and drink drinks on Shabbos that are primarily for refuah. Let's say, for example, you have a terribly sore throat and a really bad cold, and you want to, and you're sitting down Friday night to have chicken soup, right? So chicken soup, you're able, even though you're drinking the soup, really just because you want to get rid of your cold, you want to help your cold, you want to help your sore throat, but because it has an eating quality to it, because soup has something that's eaten, so you're able to eat it, even though you're able to eat it under the guise that you're doing it to eat chicken soup on Shabbos, even though the real reason why you're doing it is because you want to be able to get the medicinal effect that chicken soup is going to do. And like everyone's mother always told them, that there's nothing better for a cold or a sore throat than chicken soup. Let's just do one more piece of Gemara. Lishna Achrina, Elamais L'chamemra. What were you saying that the difference was that we allowed you to stir this shatis on Shabbos? Gavra L'achila Kamachavin Refua Memela Kavi. That we say that the person's eating and the refua is just coming about. Again, let's think of chicken soup, that a person's eating soup. It so happens that by eating the soup, he's also, besides that he's filling up on food, he's also going to be getting the therapeutic qualities that the soup has. So to hear, when it comes to the shatisa, that a person is eating it because he wants to eat it, and the therapeutic qualities that are coming about are just coming about secondhand. So therefore, you're able to do it. Okay, we will stop here.
How are you getting a raise?